to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, this is Joanna Penn for the Creative Pen Podcast, and today I'm interviewing Darcy Patterson. Darcy is an award-winning children's book author and writing teacher. She teaches the Novel Revision Retreat across the US and has just released the Book Trailer Manual, which teaches authors how to create and market their books with book trailers. So welcome, Darcy.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Oh, thanks for coming on the show. Book trailers are, you know, just brilliant, I think. So maybe you could start by telling us a bit more about you and your writing background.
I do write children's books mostly, and children's picture books and novels. I also write articles and books about how to write. That's my two main areas, is children's literature and how to write things. My picture book, 19 Girls and Me, actually is on the reading list for the Tasmania and the New South Wales Premier Reading Challenge. I'm not sure quite what that is, but it sounds to me.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic. Wow, so you're sort of an international author then.
Yes, actually, I've been translated into 8 languages, so it's a lot of fun.
Wow, that's fantastic. So obviously, you know, writing children's books and novels and teaching how to write, that's all, you know, quite different from book trailers and technology. So maybe you could explain a bit more about the Book Trailer Manual and why book trailers.
I keep hearing about book trailers, first of all. There's a lot of conversations that are going on. Do you have a trailer? Have you seen this trailer? What do you think about trailers? Do they really help? So I started doing a lot of investigation, and I guess I'm really good at investigating and learning new things. But particularly in the United States, the statistics say that there's 183 million U.S. Internet users watched online videos in May 2010. YouTube recorded an all-time high with 14.6 billion videos viewed. And they're averaging at least 100 videos per viewer. That means your audience is online. Mm. That's it. In Australia alone, there's over 20 million internet users. And if statistics hold for Australia like they do the rest of the world, 80% of those people are watching online videos. And frankly, in today's world, if you want to, and of course we do, find your audience, it's online. That's why are the thing right now.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I've actually, you know, recently bought a course with Gideon Shalwick, and I'm getting into the video blogging a lot more as well. So I'm learning about this too, which is why I wanted to interview you. You know, video is just so hot and people are watching a lot of it. And so it's pretty exciting. So what do you think has changed? Because, you know, many authors are kind of might be listening going, well, you know, it's way too hard. So what's changed to make it, you know, make it easy now?
I think the availability of everything. The programs are more available. The upload is very easy. You know, even 2 or 3 years ago, I wouldn't even have been able to try to start to upload something. Today, the technology is easier. The cameras are better. You know, my nice little Kodak KI8 just uploads it instantly. The software is just so easy. Mm. So everything's just easier these days.
Mm. No, that's great. Okay, so the book has obviously got stacks and stacks of information in, so I wanted to, you know, sort of pick your brain a bit on the specifics. So maybe we could start with what makes a good book trailer.
That's a really great question, and let me flip it just a little bit and say what makes me stop watching a book trailer. Mm. Well, basically boring concepts, bad music, static images. I think in one way the moniker of book trailer itself is a little unfortunate because it makes the comparison to movie trailers. And of course, movie trailers are very slick, sophisticated. They've been done with the best equipment. But I think trailers and good book trailers are a little bit different. They have that YouTube aesthetic. Do you know what I mean by that?
As in, it doesn't have to be professional. Well, it has to be professional, but not cinematic, I guess.
not cinematic and even not even perfect. The YouTube aesthetic is more informal. And so what makes a good book trailer is something that makes you sit up and take notice. It may be a foolish little thing about a gopher that sings, but for some reason it's humorous and people want to pass it along. So in the book trailer manual, I'll actually talk about five things that make a trailer good. First of all, is concrete details. If you can provide concrete information, for example, don't just tell me that this is a movie about a vampire. But if you can tell me that it's a vampire that takes place in Tasmania and it's a 300-year-old vampire, that's helpful. So the more specific the possible. And then it has to be something that's sticky. And that's kind of a concept a lot of people are tossing around the internet today. What makes it sticky? Basically, it's something that kind of sticks with you for whatever reason. And it can be anything from a crazy soundtrack to a really badly shot piece even, because it just is quirky and unusual. And that's the other thing, is unusual, offbeat, surprising. So for example, one of my favorite book trailers is The Book of Spam Toast for Sizing. And they do an animation, and what they've done is take bread, and they have stencils they put on the bread, and then they heat it up with a torch, and it comes out. So you have this great animation with bread. It's crazy, but it's fantastic. So that's the kinds of things we're looking for, is something that's a little bit different, unusual, sticky for some odd reason, and humor. Humor's really big.
Yes, and now I'm freaking out because, you know, with humor, I'm I say this a lot, you know, I take myself quite seriously, and I'm unfortunately not very funny. So if one isn't funny and one doesn't have a funny book, is it sort of mandatory to have a funny video, or can you just do those other things?
You can do the other things. I'm not funny. My kids come, I have no sense of humor, and I agree. But you can do something else instead. Just, it has to be quirky, unusual, different, oddball. In other words, what you can't do is just the normal. And that's what I see so many trailers doing and going wrong when they do it, is they just take the book cover, they take, an illustration or two, they animate it slightly and throw up some text. And those don't work very well. There's just not enough there.
Mm.
The concept of the trailer has not risen to a high enough level.
Yes, and it's interesting trying to sort of compare it to a pitch to an agent or a publisher. I was reading this somewhere about how when you do a pitch, it's a sales pitch. It's not a description almost. So you're almost exaggerating points of your book.
In fact, one way I describe book trailers is it's a multimedia elevator pitch. You know, and that's really true. It's a multimedia. You've got to have the video and the audio there. But in some ways, what you're doing is just trying to get that reader pulled in. And it's just like a pitch in some ways.
Mm. And when I was reading your book yesterday, actually, I was going to tell you, I just got the iPad, which is very exciting. And I was reading your book on PDF on the iPad, which is great because you can just click on the links and it goes straight to YouTube and it displays really nicely. So definitely, well worth clicking through. And I don't know whether it was even because I clicked through or looked, you know, beyond, but Sherilyn Kenyon, who writes these paranormal kind of books. You know, I would never, ever have picked up her books, but her book trailers are amazing. Have you seen some of those?
Yes, I have. They did a great promotion on those trailers and really pushed her books over the top. But that's a really great example of when a publisher steps in and does a lot ahead of time. For her trailers, they sent out 90,000 emails ahead of time saying something's coming. Look at, you know, expect this at midnight on a certain date. And then they did a really great job on the trailers. They are fantastic. A great example to go look at on the internet.
Mm, yeah, and obviously they are very professional, so not saying people have to do stuff like that, but it did make me think, wow, that looks like a great book and not a genre I would ever read, you know, normally.
That's right. Well, hers is very polished, but you can also take a look, for example, at one called Book Launch 2.0. It's for a book called Headcase by Dennis Cass, And essentially, it's an author sitting on a couch and denying that he's doing any publicity. So he's just talking to himself, essentially, and going, let's see, advertisements? No, I haven't done that. Book clubs? Well, my neighbor's going to have a book club discussion. I think she's going, you know, totally inappropriate things. And that's gotten a lot of attention. It's a funny, again, YouTube aesthetic sort of trailer.
Yeah, so there's some great examples for people to watch later. So one question I did have there was, how does a book trailer fit with other video blogs? Because you mentioned there the sort of talking heads thing, and some people are doing video blogging now. So so how do they fit together?
Well, a video blog is someone talking about mostly a certain topic. So today we're talking about book trailers. Then you could do that as a video blog also. The production skills are similar for a video blog and a trailer, but the trailer really is a sales tool. It's a tool to draw a reader in to actually go and pick up a physical thing or pick up an iPad and read it there. So it's a little bit different intent. And that's, I think, the main thing. Maybe it's semantics, you know, but I think the difference really is just the intent of the video.
But you can do, and you mentioned, I know, in your book about doing a series of videos. So maybe you do one kind of trailer style and then you do one talking head.
Sure. Mm. Sure. I think a series of videos makes a lot of sense. There's been research that says that a video that's put up, say, for example, on YouTube.com, within 3 weeks, it's garnered 75 to 80% of the total views it'll get. And so it has a very short shelf life. But if you put up a series of them, then you have a much better chance of keeping people's interest sustained over a long period of time. And I don't think you can spend, you know, a year or 2 years doing that every 3 weeks. But certainly you could do, for an initial launch, you could do a series of 6 or 8, you know, every 3 weeks or so. That's pretty reasonable. And some of them would be very sophisticated. Some of them would also be just spur of the moment. You know, I'm out at an event. This is what my fans are saying.
Yes, and I guess when I do my videos as well, you know, you can embed a video onto your blog and then you can tweet about it later or put it onto Facebook. So there's lots of ways to drive people to that book trailer, isn't there?
Yes. One of the best ways, though, is to make your own channel on YouTube.com because the research, again, shows this comes more from music videos, but I think it carries over. The research has shown that when you have your own channel, then it's considered more authentic rather than having it on your publisher's site or the music production company's site. So if you have your own channel and upload things regularly to that channel and start to build a readership there, it's like every other social media. What you have to do is build your network.
Yes, and I've just started to find that's really useful for sort of getting people coming back and they might watch several videos rather than just the one.
Yes, and that really is what you want. Although, you know, the videos for a book trailer, a book is a finished item. And so it's a little bit different sort of thing, but I think you can still creatively find 6 or 8 easily things to do that would promote it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so, oh, yes, and I was going to say on the YouTube thing, people should always remember, and I've seen some book trailers, people forget to put a link to where people can buy now in the description of their video on YouTube. Do you notice that?
Yes, the description of the video, in the book trailer manual, I go into a lot of detail on how many words you have or how many characters you have to put into there, and that's very important. One of the biggest problems I see with videos is there's nothing there. It's just a trailer and there's no other additional information. But at the bottom of the video, there's a place to click and it has all this great information. You can include a lot of information there, including where to buy the book.
Yeah, exactly. And people must remember to put the HTTP, :// because that makes it a live link. And people do click through. I'm getting quite a lot of subscriptions from that. So that's excellent. Okay, so everyone's now going, yay, I want to do a book trailer, but how do they actually do it? So maybe you could just briefly sort of give an overview of how they can do it technically.
Technically, again, the book trailer manual goes into a lot of detail on that because that is one of the basic questions that I get. There are some very easy programs, Movie Maker for Windows and iMovie for the Macs are both really great programs. They have a lot of options in them, and they're essentially free on your computer anyway, or a free download. Another option I like is Animoto.com, A-N-I-M-O-T-O.com. What they do is you upload a certain number of pictures, and you have on Animoto.com, you can do a 30-minute video free. So you upload pictures and choose a song, and it will animate those pictures. So you can, again, do your usual slideshow, but it's just a little bit nicer presentation. And that's free for 30 seconds. And 30 seconds is a good book trailer. But I really wanted to do a little bit more expensive, more professional setup. So my setup is for about $300 US dollars. I bought Sony Vegas Movie Studio HD Platinum. The Sony Vegas suite of programs has a lot of options, but I had an HD camera, so I wanted that, and I wanted a Platinum because I wanted to be able to burn DVDs also. And then I have a Kodak ZI-8, and that's just a handheld camera that has an option for an external microphone, so I have a little bit better sound quality. And it's sort of like a flip camera. I don't know if you've seen those, but they're just a lot of fun to use. You just point and shoot, and it's simple. And then the Audacity software, if I need to audit any sound, is free. So that's kind of my $300 setup, is the Vegas Movie Studio Platinum and the Kodak ZI-8 and the Audacity software.
That's fantastic. And with that setup, you can pretty much do any movie you like. So that's, you know, brilliant. I mean, within the YouTube genre, as you've said.
Yeah, the Sony Vegas has multiple soundtracks, multiple tracks for both audio and video. So you can do all kinds of things for that. It's a really nice setup for me.
No, that sounds fantastic. So what about, you know, people who want to get images? What is your favorite sort of image site to get stuff from?
Images, again, I have a long list of the of places to get images and sound in the book trailer manual. But just in general, there are a lot of stock photo places. So I go to iStockPhoto just because I find them to be reasonable in cost and to have a really wide selection. And there, it's very easy to just create a, what do they call it, a
light box.
Light box, yes, thank you. A light box, and you just drag things over to that, and so you can see the 20 images you've chosen and see if they all fit together before you buy it. Very easy to use. They also have audio. I like it. But you don't have to pay for things. You can go to Flickr.com. And do an advanced search and search only for Creative Commons items. You do have to be very careful not to violate copyright, so you really have to look at each image to see what the rights are. You can do that. Or another great place just to find video clips. There are tons of free places in the U.S. I know a lot of the government agencies have depositories of free video. But one great place that anybody can use is archive.org. And they just have video from all sorts of places. I was looking today. They have a video of an American bison from Yellowstone National Park ice skating on a frozen I like this. See, that would be a great thing to put in a book trailer, a bison ice skating. Isn't that funny? That's the kind of thing that YouTube aesthetic goes for.
Yeah, I think you better have a bison in your book, though.
I do.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Okay, so, yes, yeah, so we're talking about, that was about images. So what about music? I mean, you said one of the turnoffs is bad music. You know, where should people get music and what should the vibe be, I guess?
Music is very important, and you kind of have to have an ear for what's appropriate. You need, in my opinion, and again, this is my opinion, but the ones that I watch that have very slow moving music, I don't go there. I watch 5 seconds and I'm gone. And it's like, you know, in a book, you don't want someone to read 2 paragraphs and close the cover. You want them to watch the whole thing or read the whole thing. So I like upbeat pretty fast music, building some tension. Those are the sorts of things I'm looking for. And again, there are lots of places to purchase soundtracks, audio. iStock Photo also has an audio section. It takes a long time, but it's well worth the time to go through and find not just the almost right music, but the right music. It does take time to sit and listen to a lot of different types of music, but it's just what you need to do. If you're going to use a music, you know, you cannot just take a CD that you like and copy that music over that's copyrighted. You can't do that. So you do have to be careful about purchasing rights and making sure that you've got the rights to use it. I know one lady, Kimberly Little, has done original music for hers, and it works pretty well. So if you've got a friend who can, you know, write you some music, go for it.
Absolutely. And some people are quite keen to do that and have used artists on MySpace, you know, who want to get some other views, you know, to do that, as long as you put a link to their site. And obviously you've got their permission. Sometimes that's quite good. Right. Okay, so people now have their video. They've got a book trailer. They've made it on Movie Maker or whatever. They've made it. So what do they do with it? We talked a bit about YouTube, but, you know, how do they get it out there?
First of all, is offline. Now, a lot of people don't think of this, but anytime you are doing a public speaking engagement, you need to have a portable DVD player or a netbook or something set up so that you can be playing that video. This is for conferences, when you go to schools, teacher education venues. For instance, I'm going to the American Library Association meeting next summer in New Orleans, and you can bet I'll have a book trailer for my new book. Those are the type of things that might get overlooked but are very important. And then online, I actually have available on the Book Trailer Manual right now, if you sign up for my newsletter, a special report with 43 sites to upload videos. Now, will all 43 of those sites be appropriate for your video? Absolutely not. They are a wide range of sites, but still there are tons of sites out there that I haven't even begun to scratch the surface of. You'll find sites for almost any genre, from historical fiction, horror, religious titles, a wide variety of genres. And then you'll find a site specifically for a certain audience. So there are sites for people who like humor. There are sites for young men. Most of the videos on there are sports related or really bad, gross jokes. So if you can think of a really bad gross joke for your book, that'd be appropriate to put it there. Lots of options. And then on my website, booktrailermanual.com, I'm featuring sites that want to upload videos. So it's kind of an ongoing feature that I'll be doing all year.
And, you know, given that there's so many sites, but right at the beginning we talked about how popular YouTube is, you know, if people only want to do one site, is that site YouTube?
Absolutely. Yes, if your book is appropriate for the YouTube audience, again, what you're doing is trying to find your audience online. So if you have a religious title, you want to go to godtube.com. If you're really trying to target the education market, there's TeacherTube or SchoolTube.com. So there are alternatives, and you really need to think about who your audience is. And that's really the key with all the book trailer things that we do. We're trying to find our audience. They're online. You just have to find them. And once you find where they're hanging out, find a place where they're hanging out that also does videos.
And you mentioned there about taking it into schools, which is interesting. Obviously, you have children's books. Is this relevant for all age groups, do you think? Or do you think the kids' books, or, you know, are there different demographics it would work better for?
The statistics say that almost everyone is online and looking at videos right now. You might think that kids are the ones who are really looking at videos, but the statistics say that actually those who are like 20 to 35 or 40 are the ones looking at more videos than anyone else. So you're going to find whatever audience. If you're doing cookbooks for, you know, middle-aged women, they're going to be online somewhere. The key, again, is to find those sites that are specialized for cookbooks for middle-aged women. And they are there. Almost any little niche market you can find is online somewhere. And so while I'll have a list of 43, 45 sites, that you can post your videos to, you're really going to have to do some work yourself to find your audience online.
Mm. Right. So it's almost as if you have to spend quite a lot of time up front thinking about your audience, planning your book trailer, you know, finding all the stuff, and then you spend 30 seconds to 2 minutes, you know, of the finished product. Is that about right?
That's about right. But I also find that that's pretty typical of every effort you do in marketing your book. You know, you think you're going to find these people online, so you put up a website. Well, you know, that took a lot of time to do. But people come and they're there 30 seconds.
Mm.
Sure. I think it's just the nature of the beast of doing publicity for your book. You're spending a lot of time thinking about how does this book, the content of this thing, meet needs or entertain a certain audience, and then how can I get it out to them?
Mm. And I guess, you know, the million-dollar question or whatever is, so do book trailers work? From your research, have you found that they do work for book sales?
No one will give hard and fast statistics on it. I do have anecdotal information that it does help. Like we talked earlier about Sherlyn... Kenyon's books. It's a mix of things that were done from the emails that were sent out, the book trailer. She had a website with a lot of downloadable things on it, a sample chapter, some things. So was it the trailer itself? No one quite knows. But I think it's just the mix of efforts that you do. I think most people doing book trailers, this is one additional thing they're going to add to their arsenal of publicity. I don't think it's something that'll work in isolation. But when you add a good one to that arsenal, I think it just magnifies the efforts of everything else.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And I must say, when I was, you know, surfing, you know, having a look at the different things, I found this lovely old guy just had a little video about his book online, and I went and downloaded the sample onto my Kindle. So that definitely worked. There's no way I would have heard of this guy otherwise. Just, you know, a self-published, he must have been over 70, you know, but he just put up a little video going, this is my book, and, you know, talking about it. And I was like, yeah, you know what, I'm going to get your sample. So and I got his sample, not Sherlyn Kenyon's.
That's great. That's exactly what a trailer can do.
Yeah, it is. And it's, I think, the human connection as well. So you can do a nice fancy flash one, but I think also just doing a talking head is a good thing because people love to see authors, don't they?
They love to make that personal connection. I always say that when people want you to sign a book, they want a little piece of you to take home. And that's kind of the thing here. They want a little piece of you to share with their friends. They want to say, oh, look at this video. I bought this book. You're telling me right now about this gentleman's book. That's what we like to do, is we like to share our finds. And that's what videos can make it really easy to do.
Mm. Absolutely. Well, there's so much more we could talk about, but we're pretty much out of time. So where can people find you and the Book Trailer Manual online?
Booktrailermanual.com. is the site for the Book Trailer Manual. And again, it is a blog, and if you sign up for the newsletter right now, you can download the 43 sites to post your videos special report. I also have another site, which is just darcypattison.com. It's darcypattison.com.
Fantastic. Well, thanks ever so much for your time, Darcy. That was very useful.
Thanks, Joanna. You are a great hostess.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time.